This episode of Dean Bakari's Meaningful Show is brought to you by Flashbooks, where you can get best-selling business and self-improvement book summaries that you can read or listen to in under 20 minutes. To learn more and get started for just a buck today, visit www.getflashnotes.com. Welcome to the Meaningful Show podcast, where every single week we work to bring you an inspiring insight, idea, or interview to help you live better, work better, and be better both in life and in business. Brought to you by MeaningfulHQ.com, we've got one very simple goal here on this show, and that is to help you do more of what matters and less of what doesn't. I'm your host, Dean Bakari, and if you're ready, then I'm ready. So let's get into it. All right, today we are talking about strategic procrastination. Strategic procrastination. What is that? So it's an idea inspired by Adam Grant's new book, Originals. And here's what he says in the book. He says, I've learned, quote, that the advantages of acting quickly and being first are often outweighed by the disadvantages. It's true that the early bird gets the worm, but we can't forget that the early worm gets caught. I love that. It's true that the early bird gets the worm, but we can't forget that the early worm gets caught. So obviously, advocating procrastination flies totally in the face of conventional productivity wisdom, and it does so for good reason. You know, it's not always productive to procrastinate, but there are certain specific situations during which it can be not just productive, but even conducive to success to procrastinate. And those are the situations that we're going to be talking about today. So when it comes to creativity, as well as building a product or idea, putting things off can actually make things better sometimes. But it depends on what you're procrastinating on and how you're actually procrastinating on it. So if you've got those two things down, then delaying action sometimes can give you the time you need to evaluate your options, to mitigate risk, by thinking about different ways of approaching this thing, by helping your brain make well thought out choices. The important note here, though, is that procrastination is not about doing nothing. Instead, it's about allowing thoughts and ideas to be processed. I kind of like to think of it as allowing something that I'm working on, right, to marinate for a little while, kind of like marinating a piece of chicken or something and letting it sit for a few hours before coming back to it and tossing it on the grill, right? It just tastes better that way, letting it marinate. And I actually do this with article and podcast ideas sometimes too, right? So for example, I might get a good idea for an article while I'm watching a movie or something. When that happens, I'll whip out my phone and I'll start writing the article, or at least get a rough title going for it. And then I'll save it to iCloud, AKA let it marinate for a little while before coming back to it later on. Right? Later on, when I get back, I might work on the article some more, or I might not even work on it at all for another 3 weeks. I might add ideas to it randomly, or I might just come back to it as soon as I possibly can if it's really good, so that I can pick back up where I initially had the idea and then work on it until I'm totally done. Right? In other words, I keep the loop open sometimes on certain projects, ideas, things, right, for however long I need to. I keep the loop open for however long I need to in order to let my mind make whatever connections it's got to make before I close the loop up and finish the article, right? That's what I mean by strategic procrastination. Procrastinating on stuff when it's actually advantageous to do so. Letting it marinate for a little while, right? This type of procrastination leads us to consider a variety of different options, to consider thinking about different problems, different solutions, different things and ways in which to approach whatever it is that we're working on, right? But again, it's about more than simply procrastinating. What you do while you procrastinate matters too. Again, in his book, Originals, Adam Grant tells us that if we're really looking to get our creative juices going, what we do while we procrastinate is actually really important as well. All right, in the book, he cites a study that one of his students conducted at Wharton about how procrastinators who put off executing on a task to play video games, believe it or not, while keeping the task top of mind or remaining mindful of that task, they were actually more likely to come up with more innovative ideas. I believe it was a list of business ideas that they had to come up with in this experiment, right? They wanted to see, okay, so if we have two groups of people, right, what's going to happen if one group just gets straight to it and starts listing out these business ideas? And then let's put the other group, right, in a situation where they say, okay, here's the, you guys got to come up with a really innovative list of business ideas, but first, go play some video games for a little while. But just don't forget that you got to do that thing afterwards. You got to make that list of business ideas after you finish playing video games. So it turns out that the group that was allowed to play video games before coming up with that list of business ideas actually came up with more innovative and creative business ideas, right? And it wasn't, by the way, because, you know, playing video games opens up some kind of creative bandwidth in your brain. No, it's actually, the idea behind it is that they simply, because they paused, because they stopped without forgetting about the fact that they got to do this thing, that pause allowed their brain to kind of marinate on that idea, think about some different ways of approaching it, and allowed them to come back and crush it, right? So that's what it is. Some of the world's most accomplished people procrastinated, by the way, on their way to success. Da Vinci, right? Classic procrastinator. And he was well aware of it too, by the way. It took him 15 years to paint The Last Supper. 15 years. Kind of starting it, going back to it, doing something else, leaving it alone for a while, or a few weeks or months or year or whatever, and then going back to it to kind of work on it again. Clearly, in his case, procrastinating produced a masterpiece when it was all said and done. Lincoln was re-editing the Gettysburg Address minutes before he had to deliver the speech. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech was being edited even up until the final moments prior to delivery. And even then, he added to the speech while he was in the middle of giving it. You know that whole I Have a Dream part? Yeah, that was totally on the fly. So that's last minute procrastination working out to your advantage right there. And the reason why this works, by the way, is because our minds tend to stop thinking about projects once we're finished with them, right? Once we're finished with a project, we usually stop thinking about it. But when we remain mindful about an unfinished project, we open up space for more creativity to develop. It tells our brain, okay, hey, look, you know, we're not done with this yet, so make sure you kind of keep it in the back burner. And if you've got any good ideas, brain, then just let me know so that I can take action on them or take note of them or whatever, right? So, by the way, before we move on here, procrastination as an entire strategy, not effective, okay? It is not effective as an entire strategy. The key is to procrastinate strategically, making gradual progress by testing and refining different possibilities, right? Although the best part of King's speech, by the way, was added on an impromptu basis, in truth, King was actually developing his speech for well over a year before he had to deliver it because he was testing things out. He was trying out different parts of it in tons of different human rights rallies around the country, right? This was giving him insight, not just practice, but it also gave him insight into what landed and what really resonated with his audience. It also helped him create a strong, rock-solid foundation for an intensely passionate speech, right? While developing a certain degree of mastery, right? He knew these different combinations. He knew what worked, what didn't, and he could kind of pull them out of his pocket whenever he wanted to. This allowed him the flexibility to continue to develop his speeches even up until the last minute. And again, that whole phrase, I have a dream, right? That whole famous thing wasn't ever written into his speech. Never. I was stunned when I found that out. He actually added it on the fly after this woman in the crowd kept shouting, "Tell him about the dream, Martin. Tell him about the dream." And when he heard that, apparently, he went ahead and just launched right into it, right? The most memorable part of the speech. So now, how can you benefit from procrastinating on purpose? How can you benefit from strategically procrastinating on things? Three things to keep in mind as we close this episode out. Number one, start something that's important to you. Whatever it is, start it, right? Like a project that isn't due for a while from now. And then step two, don't let yourself finish it just yet, right? If you usually start something and then finish it immediately in one swell, you know, like one sitting, don't do that. If you want to produce your best work, sometimes it's a good idea to start it, go do something else. Stop working on it, go do something else, go for a walk, do something while keeping the project. This is the key, keeping the project in the back of your mind by remaining mindful of it at some point, right? Not closing out that loop, right? And then thirdly, final step, go back to it whenever you want or whenever you can, and let the ideas you got while you were out there walking help you come back and crush the project. Again, number one, start something like a project that isn't due for a while. Number two, don't let yourself finish it. Stop working on it. Go do something else. Go for a walk or something like that while you remain mindful of the project. And then step three, go back to it. Let the ideas you got while you were out there walking help you come back and dominate the project. Yo, it's Dean. Listen, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. If you found this episode inspiring, or if anything else you've heard on the show has helped you or made an impact on your life in any way, I'd really appreciate it if you showed me a little love with a quick review over on iTunes or on whichever podcast platform you tune into the show on. Every single review helps us reach and inspire more people to live like they give a damn. Listen, if you've got self-help questions of your own that you'd like me to answer live on the podcast, hit me up over at meaningfulhq.com. You can submit them over on the contact page, or you can just shoot your questions directly to me at questions@deanbakari.com. Thanks again so much for subscribing, sharing, and tuning into the show. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's because of you and tens of thousands of other listeners from around the world tuning in every single week, week after week, day after day, that we are able to continue creating content to help you crush it and make an impact in your life and at work. So thank you for being part of this and continuing to share the podcast with your friends, your family, and anyone else you think it could help. Until next time, this is Dean Bakari telling you to go out there every single day and live like you give a damn.